Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The life he offers to those who believe is an eternal one. This Christmas, let's be thankful for the life our Savior promises, a life that transcends our eventual passing away on earth. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a four-part series on the gifts Jesus brought to us so long ago. We've come to gift number two, Jesus, the gift of life. Dr. Lutzer tells of visiting a Moravian cemetery in Germany.
So anyway, we're looking for the cemetery, and through a stroke of providence that I will not take time to tell you about, it was just of God, we met a man who was on his way to the cemetery and who had a key to take us into a tower in the cemetery. Now, he spoke only German, so I had no alternative but to try my German on him. And as we're walking along, I knew that I had this guy only for 5 or 10 minutes. So obviously, I wanted to share the gospel with him. So I began asking him in German whether or not he was wiedergeboren. Did you hear that? Whether or not he was born again. And he said to me, "Born again?" He said, "I was born once. Why would I want to be born twice?" I just smiled. That's exactly what Nicodemus said to Jesus. Jesus said, "You must be born again." He says, "Well, can I enter into my mother's womb and be born a second time?" He said, "Obviously not." So I had to explain to him he had to be born of the Holy Spirit through personal faith in Christ. And I said to him in broken German that it doesn't happen through baptism, it doesn't happen through confirmation, it doesn't happen by going to church. You know, there used to be an evangelist by the name of Billy Sunday. Maybe you've not heard of him, but in the 1920s, great evangelist, he was actually buried here. And when I came to Moody Church, a woman wrote me a letter who remembered Billy Sunday. I suppose by now she is in heaven, but she said he used to hop from this platform that I'm standing on to the lower one without using the stairs, and vice versa, because he was into baseball, and he'd say, you know, hit a home run for Jesus, slide into home plate. He must have been a very interesting guy to listen to. But I remember a quote from Billy Sunday, because he was right on when he said this: "Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than driving a wheelbarrow into a garage and it becoming a car." And Billy Sunday was right. You're not born again by going to church, though to go to church is good, by listening to sermons, by admiring Jesus. You're born again by faith when you recognize that you need a Savior and you transfer all of your trust to what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Now, and when that happens, something else happens. It is not just that God creates within us a new nature so that we begin loving God, etc., though all that happens. And we become partakers of the divine nature, and God gives us brand new loves, and we begin to love Jesus, and we begin to love God. All that happens, but something else happens. And this is why it's so critical for you to listen to this message. And that is that the whole sin issue between us and God is actually resolved and taken out of the way. And that, of course, is only something that Jesus can do, because, listen to me carefully, for us to meet God, we have to meet him on his terms, not ours. Now, the text is open, and you'll notice what John says. We have fellowship, we proclaim to you, verse 3, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and don't we ever? You can meet believers all over the world, and there's a sense of instant connection, fellowship, sharing a common life. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete, so that really our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. May I read one more phrase, and this is in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Wow, it's time for us to catch a breath here. God is light, no darkness. You know that scientists, and you can find this on the internet, they've argued for years about whether or not light is particles or whether it is waves. And actually, I think it's both, but I checked it yesterday, and the scientists say that light is very complicated. And if they think it's complicated, I happen to agree with them, all right? But here's the thing. Do you realize that God is uncreated light? Uncreated. All of the light that you and I see is created, you know, and God said, let there be light. And there was light created. It's very difficult to understand, but that's what happened. But God, someday we will see him and we'll walk with him in his light, totally uncreated light. In God, there is light. He is light, in fact, and in him, not even a particle of darkness, not the slightest bit of sin. It is impossible for you and I to visualize how pure God really is. And now we as sinners are supposed to meet him on his terms and not ours. How are we going to do that? The only person who can prepare us for that is Jesus Christ, who not only creates that new nature within us, but takes our sin and puts it to the side and takes it away so that now we can walk in the light as God is in the light. And when we do, we have fellowship with his Son and with him, and we have a connection because the sin issue has been put away. Now, John is going to go on to say that if we say, oh yeah, I'm walking in the light, and yet we have darkness in our lives, we tolerate sin, and we have darkness, then John is going to say, we lie and do not the truth, he goes on. But now your Bibles are open. I want to show you something. I want to show you something that ought to just bless you so much that you ought to start hollering. But maybe I'll give you the signal first, all right? Look at this. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. Are there Christians who lie? Oh, yeah, Christians who lie. Oh, yeah, I'm walking with God. Oh, really? Look at the sin in your life that you haven't confessed and dealt with. We lie and do not practice the truth. But verse 7, if we walk in the light as he, that is, God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What is the antecedent when it says, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another? You say, well, that means that I have fellowship with you, you have fellowship with me, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's not the antecedent. That is true, we have fellowship with one another. Do you remember the word antecedent? A little boy was making a grammatical error, and a neighbor said to him, little boy, where's your grammar? He said, well, she's upstairs there with grandpa, you know. So, the word antecedent. Here's the deal. The real antecedent to this is God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the we, who's the we? God and I. We have fellowship one with another. God has fellowship with us, and we have fellowship with God, and it's reciprocal. It's a reference to God fellowship one with another. Oh, yes, we have fellowship with one another here as human beings, but imagine living in fellowship with God, and we're doing it on his terms, namely walking in light as he is in the light, thanks to Jesus who came to take away our sins so that the way to God becomes clear and unmistakable. It is all because of Christ. Imagine. No wonder John can say, I'm writing these things to you so that we might be joyful and that your own joy may be complete. I mean, imagine walking with God and there's no sin in between. And when sin comes in between, you deal with it. You confess it, you deal with it, you put it behind you. and you and God have fellowship together. That's the whole Christmas story. That's Christmas. God says, I want to be your friend, and I want to be your friend eternally. That's what the whole thing is about. And Jesus is the only one, as we shall see, who can bring it about. And so what you really have is fellowship with God. You remember the words of the Creed? The words of the Creed were, the chief purpose of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And I think John Piper is right when he says that what it really means is the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. Do you know, you say, I want God to be glorified in my life. Well, let me tell you how. When fellowship with God and your passion for God is greater than your passion to sin. And when that happens, you see, God is glorified because our joy is in God. And that's the purpose of it all. Rebecca and I have been to Europe a number of times, and when we drive from Germany to Switzerland, we always go through a little town called Liechtenstein. People go to the post office there. There is a post office in Liechtenstein. I don't think that there's a street lamp, but there is a post office because they want to say, I bought a stamp in Liechtenstein. And one of the things about it is that high on a cliff, really high on a mountain, there's the palace of the king of Liechtenstein, this wee little postage stamp area. And they tell us that when the flag is up, that means that the king is there. Well, the day that we were there, the flag was up. The king was in residence. You know what joy is? Joy is the flag that we put up when the king is in residence. When Jesus Christ is the one who is the Lord of our life and King and God. And the purpose of it all is that I might have fellowship with God and God have fellowship with me. Yes, my friend, that is the greatest privilege that you and I can possibly imagine. This is Pastor Lutzer. And during this Christmas season, we have the privilege of cultivating that relationship of fellowship with God. Share the good news of the gospel with a friend this week. Let them know what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And you will discover that even as you talk about Jesus, he'll grant you the grace to continue that conversation so that some soul that has never really heard a clear presentation of the gospel will understand what Christmas is really all about. I look forward to the Christmas season. I've had many Christmases. I hope that I'll continue to have more Christmases. I never tire of the wonder of our salvation. And thank you so much, as from my heart to yours, I'm taking this opportunity to wish you a blessed Christmas. It is simply around the corner, and hope that you are blessed and you in turn bless others.
That was Erwin Lutzer with more of Jesus, the Gift of Life, the second of four Christmas messages on the gifts Jesus brought to us. Next time, more teaching from 1 John chapter 1 on the joy that marks believers in Christ. All four messages about the gifts Jesus brought to us can be yours on CD, sent as a thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.